It's the weekday wake up this morning on SVI Radio, Swift 98 and The Spur, and a great opportunity this morning to touch base with Wyoming's representative, Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. Congresswoman, good morning. Thank you so much for your time today. How are things out in Washington, D.C.?
Well, always interesting, let me put it that way. But things are getting up. We're starting to move forward with appropriations. There's a lot going on.
Absolutely. Always a lot going on. Wanted to start with a couple of items right out of the gate. And the big news recently for us, especially on the western side and all over Wyoming, is the coal ban from the BLM. And that caused quite a few eyebrows to raise, to say the least. Talk to us about what you and your office and the Wyoming delegation is doing there with the BLM.
Well, there are a variety of things that we're going to end up doing with that. But yes, the BLM is moving forward. I want the listeners to understand what in part is happening here. The BLM is run by a woman named Tracy Stone Manning. And in the 1990s, she was engaged in eco-terrorism. She was involved with people who were spiking trees in forests and things like that to prevent them from being able to do logging. Now, you would think a person like that should be in prison rather than elevated to one of the most important offices in the United States, especially when it comes to Western issues. But that's where we are with this administration. This is just more of their effort that they are going to stop and prevent us from being able to produce domestic energy. It is the war on the West. It is the war on energy production. It is the war on affordable energy. This is part of why you see the inflationary pressures that you do. And it's why this is such a failed administration. But there are a variety of things that we'll be doing to block this. One is doing a Congressional Review Act. And what we can do is when an agency adopts a regulation, Congress can come in and pass a resolution to actually block or nullify that regulation from going into effect. I know that we will be doing that. The other things that we will be doing is basically trying to defund any effort to do what they're trying to do. And then ultimately, we will hopefully have a new administration this fall, and we will be able to pull that regulation out by its roots and actually adopt common sense and rational energy policy for the United States that puts America first, puts our producers first, and puts our citizens first.
It really was amazing when the administration did change from Trump to Biden, how quickly things began to shift the other direction. And you talk about the kind of hand in hand with what the BLM said about coal, the EPA's ruling as far as coal production and natural resource and energy production recently, and the EPA ruling from the Biden administration. Touch on that as well, and the direction that's moving.
Well, again, this is all hand in glove. What they're attempting to do is destroy our ability to produce oil and gas domestically, and they're trying to destroy our ability to produce coal domestically. But they're not. The EPA hasn't just gone to war against our energy industries and our ability to produce domestic supplies. It's also going against our food supply. The EPA right now is attempting to set up a sub-agency within the EPA that would be like a mini USDA. So they're setting up their own sub-agency. The purpose is to oversee and monitor and regulate food production in the United States. So you can see where this is going. Now, what I will say, and the Supreme Court has made clear over and over and over again, is that the EPA has to stay in its own lane. The EPA was created for a specific purpose. The Clean Water Act says what it says. The Clean Air Act says what it says. And this administration and the Obama administration before that have tried through these various things, such as the Clean Power Plan 1.0 and Clean Power Plan 2.0, they are attempting to regulate constituencies and regulate things they have no business regulating. And in the last couple of years, with both the Sackett decision and the West Virginia decision, the United States Supreme Court has made very clear that the EPA does not have the legal authority to do what they're doing. But again, this is a rogue administration. They don't care what the law says. You see that in the way that they've responded to the Supreme Court's decision about being able to discriminate against people on the basis of race for university admissions. You see what they've done with the student loan forgiveness. We have anarchy, and the anarchy is coming from the top because they absolutely refuse to acknowledge that there are constraints on executive power. And it's one of the reasons why it's so desperately important that we throw this administration out in November.
You know, you talk about the upcoming election and the presidential race and everything happening, and that's going to bring up election integrity again in the minds of a lot of people. How confident should the American voter be in election integrity come this fall?
So there's a couple of bills that I have co-sponsored that are up right now. One is to require a proof of citizenship and an identification to be able to vote in federal elections. Now, keep in mind, elections need to be run at the state level. We do not want to federalize elections. They need to be run at the state level. But when it comes to federal elections, we have every right as Congress to identify the requirements for voting in a federal election. And so the two things we're going to do is we are going to require that you have to have an identification to vote in a federal election. And I think that's a very important safeguard against election fraud. The other thing is that there are all kinds of things that the RNC has been doing over the last 2 years in terms of preparing for this election to ensure election integrity. And we have won some extremely important battles. For example, in Wisconsin, they're no longer going to be able to use outside money like they did with the Zuckerbucks money in 2020. In Pennsylvania, we've won some important lawsuits in Pennsylvania requiring them to follow the law there with regard to signature verification. So there are a lot of things that have changed between 2020, 2022, and now. The other thing is that the RNC has over 130,000 volunteers that will be available on election night to be monitoring what is going on and calling in and addressing issues and situations as they happen to try to block the kind of shenanigans that we saw in 2020. So there's a variety of things that are being done to shore up our elections and make sure that they are protected. The other thing that we've done is we've co-sponsored a bill that we want a question on the 2030 census as to what your citizenship status is. And we are also pursuing a bill that only citizens or people who are legally in this country are counted in the census for redistricting purposes. So part of the reason that the Democrats have brought in over 11 million people over the last 3 years is that those people under current law would be able to be counted for redistricting purposes to determine where the congressional seats are. And we are right now moving forward with a law to prohibit the counting of non-citizens and illegals in the redistricting process.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Let's head overseas, Congresswoman, and talk about what's happening with Israel and, of course, the Russia-Ukraine war. A lot of talk on funding Ukraine and whether to fund Israel. Touch on those two things because the votes have been different from a lot of the congresspeople.
Sure. And I voted in support of funding what's going on in Israel. Israel has a plan of action. We know what they're doing. We know why they're doing it. And I truly believe that Israel right now is the tip of the spear in terms of protecting Western civilization and fighting back and actually rooting out terrorism and destroying the terrorists who have done what they did on October 7th and other acts throughout the world. So I voted in favor of the funding for Israel for many reasons, including the fact that they have to win this war. They have to wipe out Hamas. It is just that simple. As far as Ukraine, I voted against Ukrainian funding. We have already appropriated over $120 billion. We have yet to receive an accounting from this administration as to how that money is being spent, whether it is making it to the front lines. We do know that approximately 50% of the money that we have sent to Ukraine is actually paying for government services such as pensions, garbage collection, schools, that sort of thing. In addition to which, we can't get this administration to tell us the metrics by which they're going whether we know when we're winning or not. So what is the ultimate goal? I keep asking that question, and the only answer that I get is, well, they've killed 300,000 Russians. And my response has been, okay, maybe that's a good thing. Tell me why it is that we want to kill 300,000 Russians. I don't know what that battle is about. If you can tell me what it is, I may support it. But right now, they won't give us that information. And something else that I think is important to recognize is that that since we appropriated that additional $61 billion to go to Ukraine, and keep in mind a portion of it of that money is for border security in Ukraine. Okay, so the irony there should not be lost on anyone. We are sending money to Ukraine for border security and for drug interdiction, but we won't close our own border here in this country. But right now, since we sent that money, what the odd thing is they're starting to talk about, okay, how does this thing end? Does Russia take the Donbass and Crimea? Do they take more than that? Do they take the territory they already have? Do they keep that? Does some of it come back? They're actually starting to come to the table and talk about this because they recognize that they most likely are not going to be getting tranches of tens of billions of dollars from the United States of America. So there are differences between Ukraine and Israel, and it's why I voted differently on those two aid packages.
You mentioned the southern border. I did want to bring that up. Are the floodgates still open, or are we seeing any improvements at all along the southern border?
No. And in fact, when people talk about the Senate bill, and that's what we keep hearing about, well, we vote for the Senate bill. That can't even pass the Senate. The Democrats won't even vote for that in the Senate. Only 43 people voted for that this last week on the Senate bill. The Senate bill is not a border security bill. It is a process them faster bill. It is a way to get more illegals into this country faster. And in fact, the very bill itself says that they can have between 5,000 and 8,500 illegals cross every single day before there is any effort whatsoever to stop the flow. Think about that. Just think about that in comparison to Wyoming's population. They could have 1.5 million people cross illegally every year into this country before they make any effort to even staunch the flow. And those restrictions would be lifted in 2025, and again, it would be unlimited. The Senate bill is a farce. It is not a border security bill. It doesn't do anything to secure the border. And no, this administration has thrown up its hands. I don't know if listeners were able to watch my questioning of Dettelbach last week. He's the head of ATF, and he came in and testified before the Judiciary Committee. And he talked a great game about how he cares about security and how he cares about protecting American citizens. And he wants to get illegal guns off the street and everything else. And my question to him was, what are you doing to convince this administration that the crime coming across that border is putting that the people coming across that border are putting every single one of us at risk? And I had to drill him and drill him and drill him to finally admit that's outside of my purview. He says, what is happening on the border in terms of the illegals, that's not within my jurisdiction. I don't say anything about it. It has nothing to do with me. So the person who claims to wanting to be keeping us secure and safe from illegal guns or people who might be building guns in their basement for hobby purposes doesn't care about what's going on in the border. And I think that's a kind of epitomizes this entire administration.
Wyoming's representative in U.S. Congress, that's Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. Thank you so much for your time. As always, anything we didn't touch on you wanted to mention today?
Oh, I think we covered some good topics. We'll have an opportunity to visit again, and we'll address different issues.
Sounds great. That's Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up with SVI Radio.